Hare Krishna. It's a pleasure and honor to be amidst all of you all here today. Welcome all of you all to the Sunday Feast program. Today we are going to speak from the story of the Ramayana. We are not just speaking the story, but we are kind of going to do like a analysis of the story of the Ramayana. I am just hoping that most of you over here at least know what the Ramayana is. Is there anyone here who has no idea what the Ramayana is? Can you put up your hand? Okay. It looks like people know. So I'm going to speak today's class in three sections. The first section of the class, we're going to speak about the important characters of the names of the Ramayana, the names of the characters, and see their relevance in our lives. Just the names of some of the characters of the Ramayana. The second part, I'm going to speak about some events in the Ramayana. Just take a small event, section of the event in the Ramayana, and analyze that event from our life's perspective. And the third part of today's session is going to be, I'm going to analyze the entire Ramayana, you know, and see the context of the whole Ramayana in our life perspective. That's the way we'll be doing today's session. As I've been saying for the last 2 days, that today's session will help you, will change completely your perspective towards seeing the scripture, the Ramayana, and will help you actually widen your vision of the Ramayana. So, we'll just take some names of characters in the Ramayana. The most important character in the Ramayana, obviously, is Lord Ram. The word Rama means the one who gives pleasure to others. The moment you hear the word Ram or you chant the word Ram, you feel happy. The other extreme of the Ramayana is the character whose name is Ravan. The word Ravana means the one who makes others cry. These are the two extremes of the Ramayana. Ram means the one who makes others happy, and Ravan means the one who makes others cry. In all our lives, there is definitely Ram and Ravan existing. There are some people, when you look at them, you feel like smiling. And there are some people in our life, when you look at them, you feel like crying. One of the characters of the Ramayana is Dasharath. Dasharath is the father of Lord Ram. The word Dasharatha means, Ratha means chariot. Dasha means 10. So Dasharatha means one whose chariot can go in 10 directions. So Dasharath's chariot actually could fly, could move in all 10 directions. But the word Dasharatha has another meaning. The word Dasharath means the one whose 10 senses are under his control. 5 knowledge acquiring senses and 5 working senses. So that means the one who has complete control over his senses, such a person is called as Dasharatha. Where does Dasharath live? Dasharath lives in a place known as Ayodhya. The word Ayodhya comes from the word Yuddha. In Sanskrit, the word Yuddha means fight or war, battle. And Ayuddha means the place where there is no battle, no fights. That means the place which is peaceful. Ayodhya represents the mind. So, here is the way to look at it. Dasharath is somebody, so that means somebody whose 10 senses are under his control and whose mind is peaceful. Such a person can give birth to God in his life. Such a person can give birth to Ram in his life. So all of us, we want to have Ram, we want to have God in our lives. The question is how? So here, one who has 10 senses under control and one whose mind is peaceful. Such a person is qualified to have God in his life. The other extreme of the Ramayana, so one is Dasharath. The other extreme is a person named Dashanana. Ravan has another name. Ravan's another name is Dashanana. What does Dashanana mean? Dashanana means one who has 10 heads. So Ravan actually had 10 heads. But Dashanana also has another meaning. Dashanana also means the one whose 10 senses are out of control. Dasharatha means one whose 10 senses are in control. And Dashanana means one whose senses are out of control. And where does Dashanana live? Dashanana lives in a place known as Lanka. And Lanka is a place where there is no peace. In Lanka, no one sleeps at night. You know why? Because the Mahabharata gives many reasons why people don't get sleep at night. And one of the reasons why people don't get sleep at night is, when you have stolen somebody else's property, then you don't get sleep at night. When you steal other people's wealth, you don't get sleep at night. Of course, nowadays there are different reasons why not to get sleep at night. Mobile phone is the biggest reason. So, the Ramayana talks about a very interesting character named Vali. So, Vali has a very interesting power. So, when his enemy comes in front of Vali, Vali has the ability to take half the energy of his enemy. He's like a battery bank, you know, sucks the energy of the enemy. So, if you go in front of Vali, half your power goes away. What does Vali represent? Vali represents temptations in life. Let me give an example to make you understand what this means. Suppose there is someone who has diabetes. Diabetes means, you know, you're not supposed to eat sugar, basically. So diabetes patients are supposed to stay away from sugar, sweets. But the problem is they love sweets. So if you bring a gulab jamun in front of a diabetes patient, what happens to him? His ability to say no becomes half, and the gulab jamun becomes double powerful. That's what Vali is. So all of us, we also experience Vali in our lives, you know, at different times. When we come in face with temptations, which we can't say no to, which we can't resist. So like that, every character in the Ramayana has its existence in our lives. So we might think that these are age-old characters, these are some ancient histories which don't have any relevance in our lives today. No, that's not how it is. Each character of the Ramayana is present today also in us. I'm just going to take two events in the Ramayana and see, put it in context of today's times. The first event is an event that happens in Ayodhya. Seeing the exile of Lord Ram, how to see it from our context. There are two types of diseases in this world. There are physical diseases and there are mental diseases. Physical diseases, some of them are contagious and some of them are not contagious. But mental diseases, all of them are contagious. So if you are sitting with somebody who has malaria, it's not that you will get malaria. You know, it's not contagious. But when you have mental diseases, you sit with someone who has a mental disease, you will surely get it. Suppose you sit with somebody who is very, very critical of others, all the time finding faults with somebody else. You sit with that person for 1 hour, you will also become like that. So in Ayodhya, originally, initially, there was no one who was mentally sick, except one person. And in Ayodhya, the only person who was mentally sick was a person named Manthara. She was not from Ayodhya, she came from somewhere else. So, Manthara had this mental sickness, what was the germ that she was carrying? She was carrying the mental sickness of envy. So, Kaikeyi sat with her for 2-3 hours. And in 2-3 hours, Kaikeyi became mentally sick. What is the proof that Kaikeyi got infected? Kaikeyi, she went into a place which is known as Kopa Bhavan. In the palaces of the past, there would be a room for everything. If you want to laugh, there will be a room. You go there, you will feel like laughing automatically. You know? Then there will be a room for crying. As soon as you enter the room, you will feel inspired to cry. You know? So Kaikeyi went into Kopa Bhavan. Kopa Bhavan is a room, it's known as sulking chamber. That means you go there to cry. So the very fact that she went into Kopa Bhavan means that she is mentally diseased. So when Dasharath came to know that his wife is, gone into Kopa Bhavan and she is having this mental disease, Dasharath came running to help her. Now when somebody is sick, what do you do with that person? Usually you take that person to a doctor. But Dasharath was overconfident. He thought, I will cure her. And he himself went to cure Kaikeyi. When he went into Kopa Bhavan, he saw something very shocking. He saw that Kaikeyi was lying on the floor. Her hair was disheveled, her clothes were torn, her jewels were thrown here and there. And she was crying like anything. So Dasharath initially Dasharatha was standing trying to pacify Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi was lying on the floor. Dasharatha spent 15 minutes over there in that room. In 15 minutes, the scene changed. Dasharatha was lying on the floor and Kaikeyi was standing. Imagine, you know. So he thought that he will go and help her, but he didn't realize how powerful mental diseases are. 15 minutes association with Kaikeyi, he is lying on the floor. So now, when a common man gets sick, maximum 3-4 people in the family get sick. But when a leader gets sick, the entire country gets sick. By next morning, the whole of Ayodhya was crying. Everyone was crying. And when you have a country where everyone is mentally diseased, two people walk out of that place. Ram and Sita walked out. God and peace walks out of that place. And then a whole country was left with people crying like anything. And in that whole place, everyone was crying. Everyone was mentally sick except one person. And that was Vasishtha, who was a Rajguru, who was the guru of the whole place. He was the only doctor. And he was thinking, I have to cure so many people. He said, it's not my capacity. I can't handle it. I need help. He called somebody from outside. Whom did he call? He called Bharat, who was Ram's brother. He was not living in Ayodhya. He was living in a place known as Kaikeyi Desh, his grandfather's kingdom. He called him. He said, I need help. So Bharat came, and Bharat saw everyone in Ayodhya is crying. Everyone is mentally sick. He realized, we both can't do anything to help so many people. The most important thing for a preacher to have is honesty. Dasharatha went in with overconfidence that I can cure her. But Bharat, when he came, he was honest, saying that I can't cure these people. The only person who can cure all of them is Lord Ram. And the only thing I can do is take all of them to Lord Ram. And Bharat arranged a whole pathway. He created actually roads. He created bridges. He took everyone from Ayodhya to Chitrakoot, where Lord Ram was. And as soon as everyone had darshan of Lord Ram, the first darshan of Lord Ram, everyone got cured of their mental disease. Just look at this. If you look at this event from this perspective, it makes so much sense. I'm going to take another event from the Ramayana. This is a section where Ram, Lakshman and Sita were in the forest. And 13 years later, the golden deer comes into their life. So when the golden deer comes into the life of Ram and Sita sees this golden deer, beautiful deer. She tells Ram, I want the golden deer. Ram goes away. And as soon as Ram goes away, who comes in? Ravan walks in. Now this golden deer represents a lot of things in our lives. The golden deer represents temptations. In the previous times, in the previous ages, in everyone's house, right in the center of the house, there would be an altar where there would be deities of Radha Krishna, of Sita Ram, Lakshman Narayan, where they would actually worship the deities at home. But today, you don't find in anyone's house deities in the center of the house. What do you find in the center of the house? Television. In the previous days, in the center of every house there was deities, and on top of every house there was a flag. That flag indicated that the center of this house is God. But today, the center of every house is television. On top of every house is dish antenna. The dish antenna on top of the house indicates that center of this house is not God, but it is television. So when Sita asked Ram to get the golden deer for her, Ram said, okay. He walked away from Sita to get the golden deer. The moment you desire anything other than Ram, Ram walks away from your life. And who walks into your life? Ravan walks into your life. So when Ravan walked into Sita's life, how did he come? He came disguised as a sadhu. He was wearing the dress of a sannyasi. So when television came into, you know, existence in the beginning, it came disguised as a good friend, as somebody who's come to help you, you know. If you remember the initial serials on the television, was usually news, and it was usually things connected with farming, connected with, you know, agriculture, connected with, you know, some things that people can use. So once Ravan came into Sita's life, he came disguised as a sadhu. She you know, welcomed him. But as soon as he entered, he showed his 10 heads. So when the television entered, it came as somebody who's coming to do something good for you. But once it enters, it shows his 200 channels, you know. 100, you know, the heads expanding so much. And what does Ravan do to Sita? Ravan kidnaps her, takes her away from Ram, and puts her in Lanka. What does Lanka represent? Lanka represents the material world, the place where we are in. And Panchavati, where Sita was with Ram, represents the spiritual world. All of us, once we were in the spiritual world, but because we desired that golden deer, we desired something other than God, we were taken from there and put in the material world. And in the material world, when Sita was put in Lanka, Ravan put her surrounded by 700 demonesses. And these 700 demonesses were one-eyed and one-eared monsters. They had one eye and one ear. Can you imagine how ghastly they must have looked? And they were torturing Sita constantly. They were telling her, Ram does not exist, only Ravan exists. Get married to Ravan, enjoy life. All of us, we are in the spiritual world, but we are thrown into the material world. And in the material world, what happens to us? We are constantly told, God does not exist, only fun exists, only enjoyment exists. Forget Ram, just enjoy yourself like anything. So there are 700 demonesses surrounding us. All our friends, all our relatives, all our office colleagues, all our neighbors are constantly trying to tell us, what are you wasting time going to Hare Krishna temple? Have fun. This is not the time to, you know, waste like this. Enjoy yourself. There is so much fun here. So Sita, in spite of being in Ravan's kingdom, she was constantly chanting the names of Ram. Similarly, all of us, though we are surrounded by so many demonic forces, we need to constantly keep chanting the names of Ram. So Sita chanted the names of Ram for almost 10 months with great faith. And one day, suddenly, Hanumanji walks into her life. Hanumanji represents the spiritual master, the guru. The guru does not come every day into our life. He comes once he sees that we are sincere enough. And what does the guru do? The guru gets the ring from the Lord. And what does the ring represents? The ring represents the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He gives us the ring, gives us the initiation, and he gives us the assurance, the hope, that don't worry, continue chanting. One day Ram will come and rescue you. So with that hope, we continue chanting the holy names of the Lord and wait for Ram to come and rescue us from the material world. This is exactly what happens to all of us in our lives. One time, there was a man who was traveling in a train. And he was going, you know, he was a banker basically. He was going in a train. And while he was going in the train, he put his suitcase on top of the rack. You know, on the rack on top. He was sitting down. And suddenly the train jerked. And the suitcase fell on his head straight. And when the suitcase fell on his head, this guy lost his memory. And he started asking everyone, who am I? Where am I going? Now nobody knew where he was going and who he is, you know. So then he got off the train and he started asking everyone in the railway station, who am I? Where am I going? Somehow, there were some devotees who were distributing books over there. And he saw this devotee. He went to this devotee and asked him this two most important questions. Who am I and where am I going? And you can imagine if you ask a Hare Krishna devotee this question, you know, what answer are you going to get? And this devotee was so inspired by the question. He said, what a question. And this devotee really, you know, told him that you are a spirit soul, you are servant of Krishna, and your eternal address, he brought him to ISKCON temple and left him there. And this guy, you know, he had no idea who he was and where he, so he thought probably he belonged here. So he became like a devotee, started chanting 16 rounds and started living with the devotees, following regulative principles. 6 months, absolutely, you know, lived in the temple like a devotee. 6 months later, one day he was just cutting vegetables in the kitchen. And somehow, a rack of tomatoes fell on his head. And as soon as the rack of tomatoes fell on his head, this guy got his memory back. He said, what am I doing with a knife in my hand and wearing a dhoti kurta? He was like completely bewildered. And then the devotees told him, you're here for 6 months and this is what you have been doing, all the seva. And of course, he continued practicing his spiritual life. But the point is that all of us are like this person. We are completely lost. somewhere our memory gets lost. And how does the memory get revived, you know? In India, we have these famous Bollywood movies, you know. And one of the themes in many movies in the Bollywood is this. The hero loses his memory somehow due to some accident, you know. And the heroine, to get his memory back, she takes him to a garden. And in that garden is like something that they have some special memories in. And in that garden, she takes him and sings a song. And as she's singing the song, this guy's memory starts coming back. And suddenly by the time the song is over, this fellow's full memory comes back, you know. So all of us are like this person who has completely forgotten our original identity. We were in the spiritual world, but now we are in the material world, completely lost. And as we hear the story of the Ramayana, the story of the Mahabharata, the story of the Gita, the Bhagavat, these memories start flooding back into our mind. And then we start realizing what is our original identity. So Hanuman, when he met Sita, he was the one who spoke the Ramayana to her. He reminded her of her connection with Lord Ram. So now, I'm just going to take the entire Ramayana and put it in perspective of our life. The Ramayana happens in three cities. There are three prominent cities in the Ramayana. The city of Ayodhya is way up in the north. The city of Lanka is way down in the south. And the city of Kishkinda is a place in south of India, which is a place known as Karnataka. It's modern day Hampi. It's right in the middle. So Ayodhya is in the north, Kishkinda is in between, and Lanka is in the south. So these are three cities in which Ramayana prominently happens. These three cities represent three different mindsets. It represents three different mindsets that all of us experience in our lives. The city of Ayodhya represents a mindset which is known as Sanskriti. Sanskriti means culture. People of Ayodhya are highly cultured, extremely great amount of integrity, great amount of honesty, great amount of purity and character. Absolutely no one in Ayodhya is flawed. Now, Ayodhya, when the description of Ayodhya is given in the Ramayana, in the Kamba Ramayana, Ayodhya is described as a place where no shop sells locks. No shop sells locks in Ayodhya. And it says, there is no one who gives charity in Ayodhya. See, it seems to be weird, because what do you mean by no shop sells locks? Today, every shop sells locks, right? In any store you walk in, you will get locks. Why? Because here, people are so insecure. There is so much insecurity, so much theft, so much dishonesty. But in Ayodhya, there were no locks available in any shop because no one locked anything. Even the treasury of the king was open and nobody stole. Today, you leave anything open, it gets stolen. Especially in an ISKCON temple, you leave Mahaprasad open, it gets stolen. You may find your money back in ISKCON, but you will not find Prasad. So, or if you go to places like, you know, South Africa, you know, if you ever visited there, such a dangerous place, so many locking systems and so much security. There is such a danger there that police stations have private security. You can imagine, if police station has private security, what is the state of affairs there? So, compared to Ayodhya, I mean, this is like, and why does it say that there is no one gives charity over there? The reason is because there were no beggars over there. Whom to give charity to? If you want to give charity also, there should be somebody to receive the charity, right? Ayodhya is a place where the mindset is Sanskriti, which means culture. Very highly cultured people. Lanka is exactly opposite of Ayodhya. It is a place which is known as Vikriti. So Sanskriti means culture. Vikriti means vulture. Exactly opposite of culture. That means people in Lanka, they know only one thing. They know how to snatch away from others. Everything in Lanka is stolen property. Nothing belongs to Ravan. Every little piece of tile and gold in Lanka, all stolen from somebody else. So the mindset of Lanka is, eat, drink and be merry. Very similar to what we experience in today's world, right? So between the two, there's Kishkinda. And the mindset of Kishkinda is known as Prakriti. Prakriti means nature. For example, when you're standing on the shores of an ocean, the water comes in and the water goes back. So when the water comes in, it's water, but when the water recedes, it's land. So now when you're standing on the shore of the ocean, you can't say you're in water or you're in land. you are in between basically. That's how people of Kishkinda are. People of Kishkinda sometimes behave like the people of Ayodhya and sometimes they behave like the people of Lanka. They are in between. So whether they are, so if you ask the people of Kishkinda, are you good or are you bad? They can't answer that question. Because sometimes they are good and sometimes they are bad. Ayodhya, the people of Ayodhya follow a thought process which is known as Kritagya. Kritagya means grateful. The people of Ayodhya are so grateful to anyone who does anything for them. So if you do something for them, they will remember it forever. When Ram and Sita were being coronated as a king and queen of Ayodhya, during the coronation ceremony, Sita started crying tears. So Ram was concerned, he looked at her and asked her, when there is such a celebration going on, why are you crying? Sita tells Ram that in the middle of the celebration, somebody threw red color powder in the air. You know, Holi, the different colors are thrown. So somebody threw a red color powder. So when Sita saw that red color powder being thrown in the air, she suddenly remembered Jatayu. So when Ravan was kidnapping Sita, on the way, this giant vulture came to protect Sita, to try to save her. And Ravan cut off the wings of Jatayu. So when Jatayu's wings were cut off, the blood of Jatayu splashed in the air. So when Sita saw that red color powder being thrown, she immediately remembered the sacrifice of Jatayu. And she started crying. When you are successful in life, when you are at the peak of your success, whom do you remember? Or what do you remember? Most people, when they are in the peak of their success, they only remember themselves. They don't remember anybody else. But people of Ayodhya, even at the peak of their success, they remember to be grateful to all those people who were even remotely responsible for them to be where they are. Jatayu didn't really help Sita, but he tried. Sita was grateful to that sacrifice that Jatayu did, and that's what gratitude is. The mindset of Lanka is exactly opposite that of Ayodhya. So Ayodhya people are grateful. Lanka people don't know what gratitude is. They follow a mindset which is known as Kritagna. Kritagna means ungrateful. Just to give you an example, how ungrateful the people of Lanka are. Once Ravan was worshipping Lord Shiva. Now for Ravan, Shiva is like the ultimate god. He loved him, he worshipped him, he adored him. You can imagine if somebody is, you know, worshipping Lord Shiva so much. He was cutting off his heads as offerings to Lord Shiva. You can imagine how intensely he was in devotion to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva finally appeared in front of Ravan and he asked Ravan, ask for any boon. Ravan asked for two boons. Look at the boons that Ravan asks for. That really shocking. The first boon Ravan asked for, he says, I want the Atmalinga. Atmalinga is a very special form of Shivalinga, very powerful form of Shivalinga. And the second boon Ravan asks, he says, I want your wife Parvati. Can you imagine? What a guy. He's worshipping Shiva here and is asking for his wife. This is the mindset of Lanka. Kritagna, they have no gratitude at all whatsoever. The mindset of Kishkinda is known as Akritagya. Akritagya means it's not that they are not grateful. They just forget to be grateful. They are like us. If you hear a lecture about gratitude, 2-3 days later we remain grateful. After that we forget again, you know. Then somebody has to remind us. The people of Kishkinda, when they are reminded to be grateful, they become grateful. When Ram killed Vali and Sugriv became the king of Kishkinda, Sugriv was so grateful to Lord Ram that he helped him become the king. So then Sugriv became the king and the coronation ceremony happened and all that, so Sugriv came to Lord Ram and he said, you know, let's go and find Mother Sita. Ram said, the rainy season has already begun. In India in those times, the rainy season was so intense that you couldn't move out anywhere. So Ram told Sugriv, let's wait for the rainy season to get over and then we can begin the search expedition. So the rainy season lasted for 4 months. This is known as the period of Chaturmas. So Ram told Sugriv, let's wait for Chaturmas to get over, the 4 months to get over. After that we will begin. So Sugriv said okay. He went into his palace and Ram went into a cave outside the kingdom. So now Sugriv, as soon as he went in, he declared a party. Every day party going on in Kishkindha, and the music and the drums and all that was, you know, Ram could hear in his cave outside the kingdom. You can imagine the contrast. You know, 4 months passed so quickly for Sugriv, but for Ram, 4 months are not passing only. You know, when you are in a mall, you know, time just passes so fast. You don't even understand when 1 hour got over. But when you're sitting for a lecture, 1 hour doesn't get over only. You know, so time is relative in nature, basically. You know? So Sugriv didn't even realize when the 4 months got over. But Ram, he was keeping account. So finally, when the 4 months got over, Sugriv didn't come to help Ram as he promised. Ram tells Lakshman, "I think you should go and scare Sugriv. He has just forgotten about his promise and commitment." So Lakshman tells Ram, "Should I go and kill him?" Now Lakshman doesn't understand. He understands binary language, zero or one. Either you love completely or kill completely. You know, there's nothing in between for him. So Ram tells him, "Come on, I didn't tell you to kill him. I told you to scare him." And then Ram gives an explanation. What is the meaning of scaring? He says, "Go and scare Sugriv that much that he comes running towards me. But don't scare him so much that he runs away from me." Fear is a very important factor in spiritual life. If there is no fear at all, then nobody will come to practice spiritual life. But if there is too much fear, people run away from God. So you need a healthy amount of fear that brings you towards God, basically. So Lakshman went and scared Sugriv. And as soon as, you know, Sugriv realized his mistake, he came running, and then he became grateful from that point onwards. So people in Kishkindha, they need reminders to be grateful, basically. In Ayodhya, between the brothers of Ayodhya, there is a lot of peace. No, the brothers don't fight. But when they fight, there is a reason for their fight. In the Ramayana, we find Ram and Bharat having a fight once. Bharat goes to Chitrakoot and tells Ram, "You need to come back and become the king of Ayodhya." So both of them are having a fight. What is the fight about? The fight is not about who is right and who is wrong. The fight is about who is right and who is more right. Bharat is telling, "It is right that you become the king of Ayodhya because you are more qualified." Ram is telling, "It is more right that you remain the king of Ayodhya because our father wanted it." So this fight between the two brothers, but look at the consciousness, look at the mindset in the fight. They are not fighting about what is right and what is wrong. There is no question of wrong in Ayodhya. The question is, what is more right? In Lanka, brothers don't fight again because there is so much fear there. The cooperation is due to fear, because the moment anybody speaks against Ravan, they are dead. So there is no fight at all because everybody cooperates, you know. One time Vibhishan spoke up. The moment Vibhishan spoke up, the only time any brother spoke up, he was kicked out of the kingdom straight away. No excuse. In Lanka, the discussion is never about right and wrong, because there is no question of right over there. The discussion is about what is wrong and what is more wrong. When Ravan kidnapped Sita and got her to Lanka, many months had passed. The ministers of Lanka, they are having a discussion in the Parliament House of Lanka. Can you imagine what a discussion is going on? The ministers are telling Ravan, "You have got Sita, you have kidnapped and got her. Why don't you do something with her?" Ravan is telling, "I want to do, but what to do? I can't do." The minister is saying, "What's the problem?" Ravan is saying, "I have a curse on my head that if I touch a woman without her permission, I will die. Therefore, I can't do anything." You know, look at the level of discussion. This discussion is not about right and wrong. The discussion about what is wrong and what is more wrong. In Kishkindha, in between, brothers Vali and Sugriv, intense fight going on. They are ready to kill each other, literally. And what is the fight about? The fight is about what is right and what is wrong. Vali is saying, "I am right," and Sugriv is wrong. Sugriv is saying, "I am right," and Vali is wrong. They are not ready to discuss with each other. So, if you look at these three mindsets, three cities, they represent three different mindsets. The city of Ayodhya is too good. I don't think we can ever reach there, you know. At least I can tell about myself. Too perfect. A lot of people have problems with Ramayana because of that. because they feel that people in Ramayana are so good, how can anyone be so good? The people of Lanka are too bad, so we can't even be there, and I don't think anybody is so bad, you know. The people of Kishkindha resounds our thought process. The people of Kishkindha are sometimes good and sometimes bad. In Kishkindha, there are three types of monkeys. So if you look at the Kishkindha consciousness, it exactly resembles our thought process. Early in the morning, when you look at all of us chanting japa, if anybody looks at us, they'll say, wow, these people have come from the spiritual world only, you know. But as the day progresses, and our demonic propensities start coming out, you know, by the end of the day, we are full demons. Early in the morning, we are like 100% devotees. And as the day progresses and becomes evening, all demonic propensities come out, you know. And by night, we are full-fledged demons, basically. So, we resonate more with the Kishkindha consciousness, you know. Sometimes here, sometimes there. In Kishkindha, there are three types of monkeys. The people in Kishkindha are known as Vanara. The word Vanara is a very interesting word. We'll come to that now. So in Kishkindha, there are three types of monkeys. The first type of monkey is Hanumanji, like Hanumanji. Perfect. Absolutely no flaw. They are almost like Ayodhyavasis only. And the second type of monkeys who are like Wali. And people like Wali are almost like the Lankavasis, almost like Ravan. Just to give you the idea of what kind of person Wali was. One time, Ravan came to know about Wali and how powerful he was. And Ravan realized, if I let Wali live, then someday he will kill me. So better I only kill him first. But Ravan also knew that if I go to face him, he will get half my strength. Then I can't fight him. So Ravan decides, I will go from behind and catch his tail, you know, wheel him around and throw him on the ground and kill him like that. So he found a time where Wali would be doing his Gayatri, his prayers, evening prayers. So he went to the shore of the ocean, and Wali was facing the sun, and his back was towards Ravan. Ravan went quietly from behind, caught the tail of Wali. And as soon as he caught the tail of Wali, the tail of Wali started revolving around Ravan's hands, and then he went around his body, tied him up intensely, so tight that Ravan just could not move. So Wali, when he would do his Gayatri, he would do his Gayatri in the four oceans. Every Gayatri he would do in four oceans. Little he will do here, little he will do there, little he will do here, and little, all very distracted type of Gayatri, you know. So when Ravan went over there, and Ravan was tied up with Wali's tail, Wali jumped from one ocean to the next ocean. Can you imagine Lankeshwar Ravan, the king of Lanka, hanging on the tail of a monkey? Wali jumps from here, Ravan is shouting, "Arey, please, you know, don't embarrass me like this. At least hold me under your arms. This is so embarrassing." Wali just doesn't care. He takes him all over, and then finally he releases him and asks him, "What do you want?" Ravan tells him, "I am here to become your friend." He came to kill him, but when he realized he can't, so he said, "Let me become friends." And then Wali and Ravan become friends. They actually create a fire, and they use the fire as a witness. They go around the fire seven times, taking vows of friendship. And they say, from today onwards, we are friends. Whatever is mine is yours, and whatever is yours is mine. My kingdom is your kingdom is my kingdom. My wealth is your wealth is my wealth. My wife is your wife is my wife. Look at this. This is the Lanka mindset. And that's exactly Wali's mindset. So as I said, Kishkindha, there are three types of monkeys. One type of monkey is like Hanumanji, almost like the Ayodhyavasis. The second type of monkey is like Wali, almost like the Lankavasis. There is a third type of monkey in Kishkindha, who are like Sugriv. Hanumanji is very clear about what he wants to do in life. Wali is very, very clear what he wants to do in his life. The people is the middle guys. These are the confused fellows. People like Sugriv, they seem to like this also. They seem to like this also. They seem to like spiritual life. They seem to like material life. They are very much like us. One leg on this boat, one leg on that boat, you know. So when Sugriv associates with Hanumanji, he behaves like the Ayodhyavasis. And when Sugriv associates with Wali, he behaves like the Lankavasis. Therefore, the monkeys in Kishkindha are called in the Valmiki Ramayana. Valmiki uses the term Vanara. The word Vanara comes from the word Nara. Nara in Sanskrit means human. And Vanara is a question. You know what the question means? The question is, are you human? It's a very interesting question. The question is, are you human? So every Vanara in Kishkindha has to ask himself the same question. Am I human? So that means, to the extent I behave like the Ayodhyavasis, to that extent I am human. And to the extent I behave like Lankavasis, to that extent I am a monkey. So every Vanara in Kishkindha has to keep asking himself the same question. So Sugriv was one of those monkeys who was very confused. And therefore the Vanaras, especially a monkey like Sugriv, they would disguise himself. So sometimes whenever he would go for important meetings, like when Sugriv went to meet Lord Ram for the first time, he disguised himself to look like a human. Because Sugriv thought being human is about looking human. A lot of us, we dress up to look like great devotees. Dhoti, kurta, tilak, kanti mala, all that. But actually, that's only an external facade sometimes. Internally, we are totally demons. So Sugriv, when he would go in front of Ram, he would disguise himself as a human. Because he thought, being human means if I look like a human, I'm a human. So the Valmiki Ramayana, look at the way in which the Ramayana is giving us this context. It is telling us, through these three different mindsets, to find out where we are. Are we there in Ayodhya? Are we there in Lanka? Or are we hanging in between in Kishkindha? So the whole idea of the Ramayana is to help us move from the lower consciousness to the higher consciousness. So through this very cleverly packaged story, the Ramayana is bringing us some very interesting thoughts about our own consciousness and our own mindsets. And therefore, when Charles Darwin says we all came from monkeys, what is he talking about? He's talking about the consciousness. The potential of us being acting like monkeys. The potential of us behaving like monkeys. Unfortunately, he didn't read the Ramayana. Otherwise, he would have got the context even better. The Ramayana talks about a very interesting character. This is the last story I'm going to speak today. It talks about a very interesting character who falls in a particular category. I'm going to tell this category in Hindi. Those who understand Hindi will understand this better. But I'll then translate in English. It's not going to be as effective as English, as Hindi. And when you translate it further into Slovenian, it's going to be even less effective. So this category is known as HNS category. HNS category means, Hum Nahi Sudharenge category. Hum Nahi Sudharenge in Hindi, it means, I will never change. There are some people who no matter what they hear and what they understand, they will never change. And in this category falls Ravan. And there's a very interesting story of Ravan in the Ramayana, which really brings out this mindset nicely. One time, Ravan goes to Bali Maharaj. Now, Bali is different from Vali. Bali is the king of the Sutala Loka. He is the one whom Vamanadev, offers Bali offers the three steps of land to Vamanadev. So Bali is also a Daitya, he is also a Rakshas, he is also a demon like Ravan. So Ravan says, let me go and take help of Bali. So he goes to Bali Maharaj and he says, I need your help. Bali Maharaj says, what do you want my help for? So Ravan says, there are two human beings who have come with a group of monkeys and they are troubling me a lot. Bali Maharaj starts laughing. He says, what's your problem? I mean, you are scared of human beings. I can't believe it. And you're scared of monkeys. You eat monkeys for breakfast. So what's your problem? Ravan said, see, let me explain. These are not ordinary monkeys. They are special monkeys. He said, three monkeys came and harassed me like anything. He said, first one monkey came and burned my city. And Hanumanji came and burned Lanka. And then he said, after some time, a second monkey came. One day, Ravan was standing in front of the mirror, looking at himself, admiring himself. Suddenly, he felt his hair was wet. He looked up. Sugriv had taken a very tiny form and he was spitting on Ravan. Can you imagine spitting on Ravan? Ravan got so wild. He tried to catch Sugriv, but somehow Sugriv escaped from there. So Ravan said, one monkey came and burned my city. Second monkey came and spat on my head and went away. And he said, then third monkey came. After some time, Angad, he landed in the court of Ravan. Ram sends Angad with a message to Ravan. Last warning. If you don't give back Sita, you will die. So Angad comes and lands in the court of Ravan. Ravan asks him, who the hell are you? How did you reach over here like this? Angad says, my name is Angad. I am the son of Vali. Now, as soon as Ravan hears the word Vali, he falls down from his seat. He already had one bad experience with Vali. So he says, how is my friend Vali? Angad tells him, your friend is dead. Now Ravan can't believe. He said, how the hell can Vali die? I know how powerful he is. Angad tells Ravan, Ram killed Vali with one arrow. Ravan can't believe it. He says, who dies with one arrow? You know, in today's, nowadays movies, heroes don't die with 10 bullets also, you know. And Vali is dying with one arrow. Angad gives a graphic example. He says, just like if you take a ripe banana and you pierce a needle through it, how easily the needle goes in. Similarly, Ram's arrow went through Vali's chest like that. And Angad tells Ravan, if you don't return back Sita, that same arrow Ram still has it. He will kill you also. Ravan says, no. Angad says, let me show you a little bit of Ram's strength. So he puts his leg on the ground and he tells Ravan, if you think you are strong, remove my leg and show. Ravan tells him, I don't touch monkey's legs. He sends his son Indrajit. He tells Indrajit, throw this monkey out. So Indrajit is also a very powerful guy. He has defeated Indra and all. So he comes and he tries to pick up Angad's leg. With all his strength, Indrajit is not able to budge Angad's leg. And then after some time, you know, Ravan himself comes. And he uses all his strength. Nothing happens. Then Ravan uses his 20 hands to shake Angad's leg. Absolutely nothing happens. Then Angad tells him, see, I'll make it simple for you. He says, I'll remove my leg and I'll only put one toe of my leg on the ground and show. You try to remove that one toe of my leg. I'll believe that you're strong. Ravan uses all his strength. And this guy is not able to move one bit of Angad's toe. Ravan asks him, what do you drink? You know, some protein shake or what do you drink? Where do you get so much strength from? Angad tells him, I chanted the name of Ram and held my breath. Because the name of Ram is inside my body has become so powerful that you can't even shake one toe of my body. He says, if the name of Ram is so powerful, imagine how powerful Ram is. He tells him, return back Sita. And what does Ravan say? No. Therefore, he falls in this category. You know? So, Ravan tells Bali Maharaj that one monkey came and burned my city. Second monkey came, spat on my head and went away. Third monkey came and I could not move his leg also. Bali Maharaj says, after hearing these stories, don't you think you should just return back Sita? Why are you making it so complicated? Huh? Ravan tells him, see, I have not come here for advice. I have come for help. If you want to help me, otherwise I am going. So Bali Maharaj says, okay, come with me. He takes him to his garden. And in the garden, Ravan sees a huge mountain of gold. So when Ravan sees gold, he goes crazy, you know. He runs towards the mountain of gold and he starts picking it up. So Bali Maharaj tells, if you can pick it, take it home. So he says, this is exactly what I came to you for. And he starts picking. So he has lifted Kailash mountain. But with all his strength, this guy is not able to lift this mountain of gold. He asks Bali Maharaj, what is this? How is it so heavy? Bali tells him, come with me. He takes him far away to the terrace of his building. And from the terrace of his building, Ravan looks at what it was. And he realizes it's not a golden mountain. It's a golden earring. It's a huge golden earring. So Ravan asks him, whose earring is this? Such a massive one. Bali Maharaj says, this earring belongs to a demon named Hiranyaksha. In the previous Yuga, when Hiranyaksha was fighting with Varahadev, and there was this intense fight between Varaha and Hiranyaksha, Varahadev gives him one tight slap below his ears, you know. And that slap is so intense that the earring falls over here, you know. And then Bali Maharaj tells Ravan, you were Hiranyaksha in your previous life, and this was your earring. But your strength has decreased so much that you can't even lift your own earring. But the same Varahadev who killed you last time, he has now come as Lord Ram. But his strength is exactly the same. So Bali Maharaj tells him, return back Sita. And this guy says, no. You can imagine. So the Ramayana talks about, you know, a person who is so stubborn. No matter what, he just doesn't get it. This is what Srila Prabhupada calls it as fourth class intelligence, you know. After bad experiences, they don't understand anything. So now, if you look at the Ramayana, look at the intelligence with which there is so much knowledge and so much wisdom packed into a story. Now if you look at the storyline externally without looking at the context, you'll find it's a great story. But if you look at the context in which the story is spoken, there is so much wisdom, so much depth in it. Therefore, the Ramayana and Mahabharata, they are at multiple layers. The topmost layer is like is the storyline, which all of us have access to. But below the storyline, there are so many layers of wisdom, which unfortunately are not easily accessible. And therefore, when we study the Acharya's commentaries, when we study the story of the Ramayana through these layers of wisdom, it really makes so much more sense to us. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any quick questions or comments at this point? No question means either you understood everything or you understood nothing. Okay. Time is up. Okay. The Ramayana that was relayed many
in the movies which are made recently or in the past.
Yeah, there are different movies made.
Different.
The
yes.
movies that are made very much the Ramanand Sagar's original serial that was made, that is quite accurate. But the recent one that was made recently in India, that's very very bogus. The Japanese one seems to be quite good also. So just before we end, I'd like to quickly tell you all about the books that I have written. So the story of the Ramayana that I have been speaking, I have been writing in a series known as Ramayana, the Game of Life. This is the entire Ramayana in 6 volumes. Right now 4 volumes are here. So basically Ramayana has 6 khand or 6 sections. So each section is in the form of a book. So what I have been doing is, I am writing the entire Ramayana in great details, just like the way I have been speaking, with a lot of life lessons. So this book has the whole Valmiki Ramayana storyline. Along with that, poetic expressions from Kamban Tulsidas. Along with that, commentaries of different Acharyas. And along with that, life lessons that can help you in your personal life in understanding the Ramayana. In addition to the Ramayana series, I have 4 other books. Here is a book known as Perfect Love. The tagline of this book says, 5.5 Ways of Lasting Relationships. This book has 6 love stories from our scriptures. These are the most powerful love stories from our scriptures. Each love story talks about how people fall in love, get married, and stay in love for life. Stay together for life through challenges. In today's times where, you know, there is love at first sight and divorce at first fight. This is a very useful book, you know, help you understand the wisdom of making relationships work. This is a book known as Open-Eyed Meditations. This has 64 articles or 64 meditations. Each of them talk about one problem of life seen through the lens of the Ramayana and Mahabharata. So this book is a very very powerful book that can actually help devotees and new people to appreciate the wisdom of the Ramayana from a life application point of view. Of course we run out of these books, but if somebody wants these books, we can always get them for y'all. This is a book called Mystical Tales for a Magical Life. This book has 11 unheard stories from the scriptures. These are the most craziest of the crazy stories. You will never hear stories as weird and intense in imagination as these stories. But again, each story teaches us something for our own lives. And finally, this last book is called as Two Fingers Short. This book is on the Damodar Leela, one of Krishna's pastimes, which is one of Krishna's sweetest pastimes. But it's written in a way that can really help you develop your love for Krishna in a more intense way. So all these books are available. The whole set is at 50 euros. For those who want the whole set, you can always order for it. Whatever book is not available, we can make sure that the book comes to you eventually. And those who like to take few of the books also, you are most welcome to do that. So I highly recommend these books to you all. And for your own personal benefit in terms of understanding the scriptures a little more deeper and looking at it from a life perspective, application point of view. Thank you very much. Very grateful to all of you all for your patient listening. It's been an honor and pleasure to be at Slovenia to serve all of you all in some small way. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.